Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
It was a cold winter morning at Lambeau Field. Doesn't this music just make you think of NFL films?
Yeah, it's just, it brings back, it's that feeling that you get in as a little kid when football season is starting.
Uh-huh.
The dew is on the grass. You know, you walk out, you just smell it. Your shoes are getting wet.
Yeah.
Oh, you just love it, man. You love it.
All right, so this is Morning Drive. Ryan Porth, Derek Mason here on this Friday morning. And D-Mace, you have another version of the D-Mace dissection.
Absolutely.
And this is Ryan Tannehill, who threw for about 5 yards against the New England Patriots last Saturday night in Foxborough in the 14-13 win, or actually 20-13 after the Logan Ryan pick six. 20-13 win over the Patriots. Ryan Tannehill, your dissection of a couple of passes that he made in that victory.
Yes, I'm going to go over all 17 of them. No, people, I'm not going to do that. I mean, even though it would take me about 10 minutes. No, there are two plays in particular that I thought were key plays in this game. Obviously, the first one, which I'm going to go over, was key for the Titans because New England had just come down and they put together a drive and was able to put 3 points on the board. You know, that's a plus for the Titans because they would rather have 3 than 6 or 7. So they limited to the New England Patriots to 3 points. And then the offense comes down and they methodically move the ball down the field and they put themselves in a position to score on 3rd and 10 from the New England's 12-yard line. This is a big play because this was only one of two offensive touchdowns that the Tennessee Titans scored. What we have now is we have motion the trips left. So they're starting off in twins. So two receivers on both sides of the ball. Well, a receiver and a tight end on one and then the two receivers on the other. Tajay Sharp is going to motion from right to left. And now he creates a bunch formation. And what happens in a bunch formation, it usually two things. When you motion, you try to get the defense to declare itself, whether they're playing zone or man. In this particular situation, Ryan Tannehill, as Tajay Sharp motions over to the left into a bunch formation, he realizes that is man coverage. So that's a plus for the offense and a plus for Ryan Tannehill. And then two, it gets those defensive backs off of you. They have to sit back and almost wait for to see what you're going to do. They can't get up and press you. Even though they're taught sometimes, which New England did, is to who's ever on the ball, the point guy, press him, knock him off his route, and usually that disturbs everyone else. And that's what New England did. They pressed the middle guy, which is Corey Davis, and tried to knock him off the route, and which essentially hopefully knocks everybody else off their route. But they run a motion with Tajay Sharp to set up a trips left bunch. They run all goals Y-seam. Okay, so Brown is to the right by himself, single coverage. He runs a go route. Tajay Sharp runs a wide release go route. So they're trying to split the field up in four, you know, to make these guys cover every angle of the field. Tajay Sharp runs a widened 9 route. Corey Davis, what he does is he crosses the face of the safety to get the safety out of there. He makes the safety have to make a decision either to take me to help on me or to help on Firkser, the tight end. What Firkser does is excellent, is that he runs his seam route. He comes underneath. We call it a switch release. Corey Davis, Firkser is lined up in the inside of Corey Davis. Corey Davis is the point guy right on the outside. We call it a switch release. What happens is Corey Davis releases inside, Firkser releases outside. That gets those defensive backs off of you. That puts them in a position where now, again, I know what they're doing. I can get an opportunity to work toward their you work the defensive back that's on you. Firkser does an excellent job with a slight outside release. And what he does that's even better, he presses the safety at that time. It's not Chong. Chong had just left the game because of injury. It's I forgot the guy's name. But he presses the guy, the safety, and he crosses his face. The minute he crosses his face, Ryan Tannehill delivers a strike and a touchdown. What's so great about this is that New England got pressure. That's not the great point. The great point is Ryan Tannehill stood in the pocket and delivered a strike to Ryan Firkser. Firkser ran an excellent route. Corey Davis did an excellent job at crossing the face of the corner and the safety, taking them out so there's a window to throw the football to Firkser. Again, excellent route by Firkser. Excellent job by Corey Davis to clear everything, and then excellent job by Ryan Tannehill to stay in the pocket and deliver a strike. That was a great play call by Arthur Smith. When you watch this play, you just think touchdown, but you don't see everything that goes on. I've always said offenses, they have to have all 11 guys work, because if Corey Davis doesn't take that inside release and get those guys to go with him, now it takes away the middle for Firkser. Now Ryan Tannehill has no place to go. Everybody has to work together for a common goal, and that's to score a touchdown.
Do you think that touchdown happens if Patrick Chung is in the game for the Patriots?
I don't know. I really don't. There's a reason why Arthur Smith called that play after Chung goes out. You're going against a guy who hadn't been playing at that point. Their second safety, maybe even their third safety. You want to go at a guy that comes in for the injured guy, because, you know, he's been sitting on the sideline. He's a little rusty. He's a little nervous when he comes in, and he wants you to run the football. So why not go at that guy that just came into the game? You see offenses do it every time. The minute a new cornerback comes in the game, a new safety comes in the game, or a new linebacker, they try to go right at, because they figure that's the weak point of the defense. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, that was the weak point of New England's defense on that particular play.
So at that time, that touchdown on the Patriots put the Titans up 7-3 in the first quarter, and that was a 12-play, 75-yard drive where Derrick Henry just manhandled the Patriots. I mean, it was like 7, 8, 9 yards every single carry, it seemed like, on that drive for Derrick Henry. Now, your second dissection of Ryan Tannehill is another pass to Anthony Firkser, but this time late in the game.
Yeah, this is a pass that I think might have been, other than what the defense did, might have been the play that ultimately, I think, won them the game. Because right now we're at a point where it's 13-14.
Yep.
With 2 minutes and 54 seconds left, the fourth quarter, the ball, they got the ball at their own 15-yard line.
15.
Third and eight at their own 15-yard line. If they forced them to punt the ball, even with, you know, the great Kern, who might be the best player on their team, even with him, they're going to get good field position.
And the Patriots had two timeouts at that time, plus the two-minute warning.
Absolutely. So this was a play that needed to be made by somebody. Well, once again, why not go back to the guy that scored a touchdown when the touchdown needed to be made? They are in trips. I mean, they are in twins right. So we have Brown and Firkser to the right, and we have Sharp and Davis to the left. They create a trips left because they're going to motion Firkser. He's going to motion between Davis and Sharp. Again, the motion allows me to recognize whether it's man or zone coverage. Well, because Derrick Henry has been running the ball so effectively, they got to play man because they got to try to stop Derrick Henry. So they got to bring that safety out of the middle of the field and put him in a box. Well, they motion Ferkser. They create a trips left. All of a sudden, now New England has to decide, what are we going to do? Are we going to bring another safety down? Are we going to keep it high? Are we going to play man? Are we going to play zone? Well, they decided to play this zone two-man deal where we're going to play man underneath, but we're going to play two safeties high. So we're trying to undercut anything underneath, in routes, out routes. But still, we have help up top if they choose to go a go route or corner route or post route. Ferkser, his release was excellent. He released off the ball. He released straight at the cornerbacks, well, the safeties at this point. He releases at the safety's technique. I don't know what the safety was doing. I really don't. The safety gave him so much cushion, and he just ran a simple out route. Ryan Tannehill saw this before the play even happened. Once Ferkser motioned over, once they declared what they were going to do, Tannehill knew exactly where he was going. This was another pinpoint accurate pass by Ryan Tannehill. He hits Ferkser, I think, for 9-10 yards, and it continues to drive, ultimately ending in, you know, them taking a lot of time off the clock. They had to punt, but they took a lot of time off the clock, and they pinned New England back on their own one. They wouldn't have been able to do that had they not got this first down. But they get this first down. Ryan Tannehill makes two passes that he needs to make in the game that ultimately won Tennessee Titans the game. The pass to Ferkser for the touchdown in the first quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, the 10-yard pass for a first down to Ferkser. Ultimately, those are two plays, to me, I felt, on offense that won them that game.
When Ferkser caught that third down pass that you just broke down, there was a sense of belief that it was going to happen.
Oh, of course.
Like, I was watching the game at Boom Boz, and I will be again tomorrow night, Boom Boz Craft Pizza Tap House in East Nashville. And you could just start sensing it in that moment. I think it kind of started with it when Julian Edelman dropped that ball on second down on the previous drive right before the Titans had the ball on that drive that we're talking about. Edelman drops that pass and then incomplete pass to Philip Dorsett. And you're starting to think, okay, this is the drive to finish the dynasty, to end it right here. And you complete that pass to Ferkser, and now you can start, you know, forcing the Patriots to use their timeouts. You know, you have Derrick Henry, and then Derrick Henry runs for a big first down later on that drive. So, yeah, that was a huge, huge play. I agree. A huge play for them to win that game.
Absolutely. And we look at Ryan Tannehill, and we say, well, he didn't play well. He didn't play well. He threw a ill-advised interception. He fumbled the ball twice. Oof. Luckily, they got both of them back.
Yeah.
But the two throws that he needed to make, he made them. The one of Ferkser, and well, the touchdown of Ferkser, and then the first down late in the game where they needed it to Ferkser for a 10-yard gain.
Coming up next, we just broke down Ryan Tannehill to Anthony Ferkser the two times wild card weekend against the Patriots. Is Ryan Tannehill the most important player or person in this game for the Tennessee Titans, or is it somebody else? We'll talk about that next. He's Derek Mason. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth and Derek Mason here with you, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Marquise Munson, or just Munson, behind the glass.
I remember this. Rocky III, boy. He was getting ready for Mr. T. Wasn't this when he was getting ready for?
I thought it was the Russian.
Yeah, it was the Russian. He was getting ready for the Russian.
If he does, he does.
He was getting ready for. He was in the snow. He was in the snow. He went to Russia.
So is he Marquise? Is he Munson? Or is he Keese this morning?
He's Munson right now.
I'm Munson.
Okay. Yeah, but Keese might come out.
I don't know. My boss is in here. I might be Marquise Munson. I have suit and tie in here.
So this divisional round playoff game between the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens kick off tomorrow night at 7:15. We have 10 hours of pregame coverage tomorrow right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game starting at 9 a.m. If you don't want to listen to Vols basketball, listen to the Tennessee Titans pregame coverage here on ESPN 102.5 The Game starting at 9 a.m. And D-Mace, everyone is pointing towards Ryan Tannehill as being the most important player or person in this game for mm-hmm. the Tennessee Titans. We all know how good Derrick Henry is. We all know how good individuals on the defense are. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are pointing towards Ryan Tannehill as the most important person for this Titans team tomorrow night.
I don't think you see it that way.
I don't. Mm-hmm. I think Dean Pease is the most important person for this Titans team tomorrow night. Because Dean Pease is going to have to come up with a game plan mm-hmm. to slow down an offense that really no one else has figured out this season in the National Football League. Again, the Ravens have not lost since the month of September. And the Ravens average over 200 yards rushing per game. This is an offense that we haven't really seen in the National Football League in who knows how long. This is old school football that they're playing with the triple option, Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, and the other running backs. And it does sound like Mark Ingram is going to play in this game for Baltimore. Who knows how effective he will be, but it sounds like he will play. Dean Pease is going to have to come up with a game plan that keeps that offense at bay and they don't completely dominate the football game, because they average over 206 yards of rushing per game is mm-hmm. their exact average. They average close to 35 minutes per game in time of possession, which is just ridiculous that you average close to 35 minutes per game of possession. So Dean Pease is going to have to come up with a game plan that can at least keep them at bay. When they get into your side of the field, hold them to field goals and not allow them to score touchdowns. All those small, little, minute things within the defense, mm-hmm. especially with Jayon Brown out of this game, I think Dean Pease is going to have a big game tomorrow night from the booth.
Yeah, he's going to have to. We've never, and I think everyone who's been following the NFL however long, never seen a rushing attack like this. Never. It's college football with the NFL twist times 50 million, whatever, because the Baltimore Ravens are so great at not just running the football, but they're great at disguising how they run the football. Tennessee Titans are giving up over 100 yards a game, 116 yards a game rushing. So they are, you know, they're down toward the bottom half of the NFL in that stat. We know how this defense has struggled the second half of the season, and a lot of it has to do with injury. Mm-hmm. They've had guys in and out. Their secondary has been beat up. Because Dean Pease loved to blitz. He loved to do different things. Well, he can't do the things he normally do now with Logan Ryan because Logan has to be in coverage.
Sure.
You know, so that takes away a lot of what they can do. And I think they have it's hampered them at stopping the run at times.
But can you do that more with Logan Ryan, considering how much Baltimore runs the ball? Can you take more chances with Logan Ryan in this matchup?
I don't think you can, because, again, the Baltimore Ravens does such a good job at disguising. Mm-hmm. They do a good job at sort of this manipulation, this trickery in their run game. And it looks like run. It's lined up like run. You know, the offensive line come off the ball like it's run, and then they throw the football to the tight end. Greg Roman has mastered the art of deception with this run game. It's like facing Army, Navy times 50. And if you don't know how to control the triple option, you're not going to stop it. Mm-hmm. And every time when you hear about teams playing these triple options teams, and a lot of times it's just college, they say, you know, be disciplined, stay outside when you need to stay outside, do your job and not everybody else's, just be in a position to make the tackle and everybody else will rally around you. Well, that's what the Baltimore Ravens and Dean Pease has to figure out. And they have no point of reference, because this offense they're facing, they didn't face it last year, even though they played Baltimore last year. This wasn't the same
offense.
This
is a different team.
Yeah, they were playing Joe Flacco.
Right.
This is Lamar Jackson. And even if they had played Lamar Jackson last year, it still wouldn't have been the same offense. So you're right. It's incumbent on Dean Pease to put these guys in positions, and then it's up to them to make the plays.
I will admit, though, if Dean Pease is number one on my list, Ryan Tannehill is probably number two. Because Ryan Tannehill, the dissection that you had last segment with Firkser, especially that third down pass, there are going to have to be a lot of passes just like that third down pass to Firkser, just to keep the chains moving and keep the Ravens offense off the field and put you in positions to get points. Like Ryan Tannehill, there may be some drives where he has to put the team on his back because this Ravens defense is probably going to do a better job on Derrick Henry than the Patriots defense did last week.
They are. And you know, this is what they try to do, their defense. And they try to pressure you into making decisions that you don't want to make. Earl Thomas said it best. We're not the New England Patriots. We're built different. They are built in the mold. And I've told people this week, the Titans and the Baltimore Ravens are built the same. On defense, they want to come at you the same. They want to come at you physical and hard. And you know what? They're not going to stop coming at you. You might run through them. You might get big plays. They're still going to come and try to thump you. That's how the Titans play. The Titans never back down, and the Baltimore Ravens never back down. That wasn't, you know, New England was a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you stop an offense that has Lamar Jackson, that has Mark Ingram? And oh, by the way, Gus Edwards is a damn good running back.
Mm-hmm. He's overlooked in this offense.
He's faster than Mark Ingram, and he runs with power like Mark Ingram. And then they got Justin Hill, who's another young running back that has power, speed, and elusiveness. So this team, they got runners everywhere. And it's up to Dean Pease to figure out a way to contain it. He's not going to stop it. To contain it. Thank you guys for texting at us on our text line. That's great. You keep doing it. Stay engaged with us. We do read them. We got a text, and one of our individuals that texted the line said, I don't believe in Ryan Tannehill. It's not that I don't believe in Ryan Tannehill, but if Ryan Tannehill has to throw the ball 23 times, if they're banking on Ryan Tannehill to throw the football to win, it's not going to happen. Why do you think he averages only 23 passes per game?
Some of his best games this season for the Titans have been in games where he didn't throw 23 passes, but he was still efficient within the 15 to 20 passes that he did throw.
Absolutely. They just want him to be efficient. They don't want him to throw the ball. If he has to throw the ball to win this game, it's not going to happen.
Coming up next, we're going to go to Baltimore and get a perspective from the Ravens. Jeff Zrebeck covers the Ravens for The Athletic. We will bring him on. Coming up next, he's Derek Mason. I'm Ryan Porth, and for Brayden Gall this morning, you're listening to Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into the show. Ryan Porth in for Brayden Gall this morning alongside former Titans and Ravens great Derek Mason, all-time leading receiver for both teams, not the organizations, because if you have factor in Houston for the Titans, you're not the all-time leading receiver, but for the Titans, you are.
Yeah.
And pretty cool that the Titans and the Ravens are playing each other again in the playoffs. You were in all three previous playoff games between these two teams. So tomorrow night, the six-seeded Titans at the top-seeded Ravens at M&T Bank Stadium, 7:15 kickoff up there in Baltimore. And joining us now to add a Ravens perspective on this game is Jeff Zrebeck, covers the Ravens for The Athletic. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. Good morning, guys.
So this Ravens team, 14-2, chugging right along. How surprising has it been to the fans in Baltimore, the media in Baltimore, just how efficient this offense has been with Greg Roman, Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram and company?
Yeah, I think it's been a big surprise. You know, this was supposed to be a year where, you know, Lamar Jackson and the offense was, you know, kind of in that work in progress, zone. You know, we expected, you know, Jackson to take some steps forward, to play better than what we saw last year at times when he subbed for a hurt Joe Flacco and took over down the stretch. But to say anybody expected this guy to, you know, put up MVP-type numbers and he's going to get the MVP and the offense to be the highest-scoring outlet in the league, nobody expected that. And, you know, everyone sort of laughed at John Harbaugh when he talked in the offseason. And trust me, I was one of those guys snickering when he talked in the offseason about, you know, doing something that's going to revolutionize things offensively. And, yeah, we were like, okay, you know, but, you know, he was prophetic because that's a, I don't know about the whole revolution thing and how you'd quantify that, but nobody expected them to be as productive, efficient on offense than they've been.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This team is breaking records. They're setting records. Historically, this is the best run outfit that the NFL has ever seen in terms of, you know, yardage that they put up. And I got a chance to, because I try to keep in touch with John a lot during the season, and he I remember on one conversation, he says, this kid is special. I asked him about Lamar. He said, man, this kid is special. Just wait and see. And this was last year. And lo and behold, look at what they're doing. And a lot of it has to do with what Lamar is able to do with the football. Why is it that you believe people continue to go back to last year's playoff game? Because this is not the same Baltimore Ravens, not the same offensive coordinator. I think Marty Morningwig was holding Lamar Jackson back. And people always go back to, well, they hadn't won a playoff game and they might choke like they did last year. Well, Lamar almost single-handedly brought him back in that game, too. Why do you think people try to use that as a point of reference? Because, again, this is not the same offense.
Yeah, you're right, Derek. And you know, that game last year, first of all, the game plan was bad, and they made no adjustments with what the Chargers were doing in terms of stacking you know, DBs on the field and getting smaller and quicker. And the Ravens made no adjustments in trying to run right at them. The offensive line was completely overwhelmed and they didn't have an answer for Bosa and Ingram. You know, and Lamar took a while to get going, but he did, you know, he got hot in the fourth quarter. I think, first of all, I still don't think people believe what they're watching with Lamar Jackson in a sense around here. And, you know, there was a lot of skepticism early in the season, heading into the season, you know, and he's answered every question. You know, I don't think even, you know, people who supported Jackson the most, I don't even think they expected what they're seeing. And there's almost been a sense during the year of, okay, this is too good to be true. There's no way he's going to be able to continue to play at this level. He's going to mix in a clunker in there where the offense comes out flat and doesn't look good. And it seems like that's kind of what people are waiting for in a lot of ways. And the one box he really hasn't checked, I mean, he led the league in touchdown passes. He led all quarterbacks in rushing. You can name it, but I guess the one box he hasn't checked is winning a playoff game yet, and this is his first full season as a starter. So I think when people talk about that, they point back to that game last year and say, see, you know, he was kind of shaky in that game. We'll see if he can do it, you know, on the playoff stage. But that's pretty much all you can question at this point with Lamar Jackson, because he's answered every other question.
We're talking with Jeff Zrebeck of The Athletic. We're discussing the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens, who play this upcoming Saturday, 7:30 Central Time, 8:30
7:15.
Yeah, 7:15. Excuse me,
yes.
7:15 Central Time here in Nashville. When you look at what Wink Martindale has done with this defense, now this it's sort of the reversal of what Tennessee went through. The first half of the season, Tennessee was playing well on defense, and then they struggled toward the latter part. Well, Wink Martindale and his defense struggled early on and then started to pick up steam late in the year. Is there anything that you can contribute that to?
Yeah, I would say two primary things. One is, you know, in you around here, Derek, so you could relate to this. You know, this team gave up over 500 yards of total offense in back-to-back games. Back-to-back losses to the Chiefs and Browns. They're booed off their home field. That never happens to Ravens defenses historically. And, you know, I think that was pretty humbling But since then, you have to look at the additions. I mean, this is a totally different defense. Marcus Peters has been a huge addition. It's kind of changed what they do on the back end. They've moved Brandon Carr to safety, and they've gotten their three best corners, Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Jimmy Smith on the field. And then you have, Carr at safety, Earl Thomas at safety, and you move up Chuck Clark into that dime linebacker role. And they're much quicker, faster defensively, and that has helped. And it's not just the Peters addition. You know, they added more of a traditional middle linebacker in Josh Bynes. I mean, he's not a guy that keeps offensive coordinators up at night, but he's a solid, sure-handed tackler. He's in the right place at the right time. And after losing C.J. Mosley, their middle linebacker play was awful earlier this year. And then you added some big guys up front, Pecco and Justin Ellis. So I think the outside additions were a big deal. I mean, there's 9 or 10 new guys on this defense that weren't here when the season started. And the other thing is I just think Wink Martindale just came to grips with the fact that we're not going to be able to generate consistent pressure with our front four. I mean, Matt Judon's a Pro Bowl performer. I wouldn't call him an elite pass rusher, but he's an 8-9 sack kind of guy, good player. Anyone would like to have him, but he's not Terrell Suggs in his prime. And, they weren't getting enough pressure. Now they just blitz. They blitz constantly. They blitz more than any other team in the league, and it's not even close. And I think Martindale just came to grips with the fact that this is the way they're going to have to get pressure. And they really like their defensive backfield. They trust them. And that's even more of a license for them to blitz. So, he's an aggressive guy to begin with, but they've gotten more and more aggressive as the year has gone on, and they've gotten healthier on the back end.
Everyone here in Nashville is wondering how Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry can put points on the board for this Titans offense. Where in that Ravens defense might the Titans be able to maybe expose them tomorrow night?
Yeah, this isn't – the defense has played much better, as I just discussed. And they're one of the highest-ranked defenses in the league, especially when you account after week, four, when they made all these changes. But this isn't a shutdown group. They've been dominant at times, but this isn't a kind of a group that is, I believe, that's talented enough just to take the offense's will, shut them down completely like some of those defenses of the past that we saw in Baltimore. One area is definitely they struggled a little setting the edge. They always used to have these guys that were really good edge setters, like the Jared Johnson mold. Then they didn't allow people to rush at all on them. They're strong up front in the middle, but on the edges, they're very young on the edges. They rely on a rookie in Jalen Ferguson and a third year guy in Bowser to an extent. Judon's a better pass rusher than he is an edge setter. So that's an area where they have to be concerned. I mean, we saw some of the success Titans have had running the ball, period, really. But you've seen Henry bounce outside a good bit. And that's an area you question. And then, you wonder if they sell out, are they going to be susceptible to the big play? Are they going to be selling? Early in the season, the Ravens were very much susceptible to big play and getting beat over the top. Will some of the play action stuff open up some opportunities downfield? They've kind of shut that down a little bit, but I think we all know they're going to be geared to stopping Derrick Henry. So that should lead to some opportunities downfield.
Jeff Srebeck covers the Ravens for The Athletic, joining us here on Morning Drive. Jeff, thank you so much for your perspective, and we will enjoy the game tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate it, guys. Have a great rest of the day.
Yep, thanks, you too. Jeff Srebeck of The Athletic covering the Baltimore Ravens. D-Mace, we have a text into the text line, mm-hmm. 615-737-1025, if you want to text us or call us. And first of all, the person who said that you don't believe in Tannehill, mm-hmm. says, I love you, D-Mace.
Okay. No, I wasn't upset with them.
I know you weren't. So just wanted to give you that update. Uh-huh. And then we have a Titans fan saying, the Ravens have more rushing yards than anyone before because they basically have an extra rushing position on offense that 99% of teams in NFL history haven't used on a consistent basis.
No, you're right. They have more runners than you have tacklers, essentially. That's why the NFL is going toward not necessarily – the running quarterback, but a mobile quarterback. Even Ryan Tannehill, he's a mobile quarterback. What that does is you have to account for the guy that has the football underneath center, the quarterback. You can't say You know, when you're playing against Tom Brady, you don't fear him running the ball, not whatsoever. But you fear a Lamar Jackson. You fear a guy like Russell Wilson. You fear a guy like Ryan Tannehill because they want to pass the ball, but they can run the football and pick up first downs indeed. Well, Lamar can do it plus some. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's going to be a tall task.
For sure. Coming up next, we'll continue the Titans-Ravens conversation. Plus, we'll get back into what happened last night at the United Center in Chicago as Pecorine scored an empty net goal for the first time in his career. We'll get into all that coming up next. He's D. Mace. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into the show. Morning Drive. Ryan Porth in for Brayden Gall this morning alongside former Titan and Raven great Derek Mason. Don't miss our pregame coverage tomorrow. 10 straight hours of live local pregame coverage for Titans-Ravens, all starting at 9 a.m. Elijah Campbell and Calvin Smith will host the kickoff at 9 a.m. Chase and TD live from Sliders Bar and Grill outside of Camden Yards in Baltimore, live on location in Baltimore. That should be a lot of fun. And if you're planning to go to Baltimore this weekend to take in the game, go over to Sliders Bar and Grill. They're going to have some promotions for Jack Daniels and Goose Island. Talked to the bar owner yesterday, and he's really excited to have some Titans fans stop by. So stop by there if you are headed to Baltimore. And then after Chase and TD are done at 2, a special edition of Jared and the GM from 2 to 5 live at Boomba's Craft Pizza in Tap House in East Nashville, followed by NFL pregame with Jared Floyd and Chris Sanders from 5 to 7 as they preview Titans-Ravens. NFL pregame brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com. The George Jones, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. Whew. All right.
That's a lot.
That's a lot tomorrow. 10 hours starting at 9 a.m. We are live and local all day long. Plus, Chase and TD will be live from Baltimore tonight at 6 p.m. right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, we have someone texting in at 615-737-1025. Mm-hmm. Saying nobody is talking about Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram both having leg injuries at the end of the season. I think it absolutely affects them negatively. What would be your reaction to that?
Don't bank on it. Those guys, you know, they're going to be ready to play. You know, the good part about it for them, and I know, you know, John, you know, he understands this, and the team does. That week off really helped them. If they had to play last week, I don't think Mark Ingram would have played. He wouldn't have. But essentially having 3 weeks off for him, it was just like the Derrick Henry thing.
I was just about to say, Derrick Henry really helped him.
Yeah, he needed that game off to kind of get him going. I want Titan fans to not set themselves up for failure, because everyone's grasping at things, all these other, you know, this guy being potentially hurt, them having a week off, you know, them being the number one team, they might be overconfident. They're picking at straws, they're picking at things that, to me, don't, because if you're banking on that to win the game, then you're gonna be disappointed at the end of the night.
I think they're hoping.
Yeah,
for those things to be a factor,
rather than banking on them to be a factor. But the Titan players are not. Titan players are not looking at, you know, all they see is Lamar Jackson. He's playing. Mark Ingram's playing. That rushing attack is the best ever. And if we do what we need to do, then we give ourselves an opportunity to win this game in Baltimore. And that's all they can ask for at this point in time. I think Derrick Henry is going to be Derrick Henry. It's going to be hard for Baltimore to stop Derrick Henry. Because believe me, Baltimore has some of those same, you know, things that they're saying about Tennessee. You know, they had to play the first week, so they might be tired. Mm-hmm. You know, Derrick Henry ran the ball another 30 times, so he might be tired. His hamstring might not be fully healed. You know, if it's cold here, what happens then? All of these things that the fans are sort of trying to hope and wish is an issue for Baltimore. Baltimore fans are saying that about the Titans. You know, they didn't have rest. They got Jayon Brown's out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're saying Humphrey's not playing. They're saying all these things about the Titans. But both teams are like, hey, listen, we're not worried about all that. You know, if we do what we need to do, you know, both teams respectively, then it's going to be a good game. And ultimately, you know, somebody has to win. And who wins is the team that makes the least amount of mistakes. The team that doesn't. It's not about turning the ball over to me. It's about when you turn the ball over. Because that fumble in the fourth quarter could have been disastrous for the Tennessee Titans.
100%.
Had they not recovered it.
I think we're just trying to grasp on to all the hope we have, D-Mace. As a Titans fan, look, I have not been this excited since the last time the Titans and Ravens played in the playoffs.
It's
been 11 years since this fan base has had this kind of feeling with this team. Even 2 years ago when they went to Kansas City and won miraculously in comeback fashion, nobody had a hope going into Foxborough that they were even going to make that a close game. I mean, you were going to have to grasp at a lot of straws to find a way the Titans could even compete in that game. This one, there is a true belief within this fan base that the Titans can at least make this interesting with the Ravens tomorrow night.
I mean, they can. You know, I look at it from this standpoint. I believe in this team, you know, I think they can win this game. You know, it's going to take things to happen. I think they can win this game. Why? Because they run the ball effectively. I believe in this team because they can run the football. It's not like I believe in this team because Baltimore hadn't played last week or Lamar has been hurt. I don't believe in the Tennessee Titans because of that. I believe in them because number 22 and Dean Pease.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Mike Vrabel will have this team ready to play, and that's all you can ask for. You know, that's why I believe that the Tennessee Titans can go to Baltimore and win. Do I think they're going to win? No, I don't, and I'm just being real about it. I thought they were going to beat New England. You know, deep down, you know, I thought they were going to beat New England. It wasn't a surprise that they did, even though like many people, I said, you know, they're going to Foxborough. It's going to be a tall task. I just think at the end, Tom Brady's going to do something, and it's going to be vintage old New England. They're going to find a way to pull it out. It's going to be a tough game, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if Tennessee won. And Tennessee won. This one, I still believe if they do what they need to do, then they give themselves an opportunity, and I wouldn't be surprised if they won the game.
Kadri Ishmael coming up at the top of the hour here next segment. Quick shout-out to Pecorine John Hines in the Nashville Predators last night. Pecorine scoring his first ever goal in empty net fashion. Really the only way a goalie can score.
Exactly.
And becoming the first goalie since Mike Smith back in 2013 to score a goal in the National Hockey League. Pecorine has been trying it for years, and he's come close a couple times for it to be actually realistic.
Mm-hmm.
But man, oh man, for that puck to go in, and I think the cherry on top last night was the fact that it came against Chicago, right?
Yeah. What better team to come, you know, to score your first goal against is Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the arch enemy. You know, they are the Penguin to your Batman or the Joker to your Batman. And like I said earlier, Ryan, in some weird way, this could be, you know, that goal could be something that can springboard not just Pecorine, but the team in general, because they played really good last night, especially in the first period.
Here is Pecorine's reaction last night with the media to him actually scoring the goal for the first time in his life.
Oh, for sure. I'm not going to lie. You know, I obviously understand that, you know, it might be once in a lifetime thing. So I really enjoyed it. It was awesome feeling seeing that puck go in. To be honest with you, I thought that it's curving on left a little bit, and then it took a little correction and ended up pretty middle. I'm like trying to see it, and then Yosin and Bonino, I think they were going nuts, and it was pretty cool. I just threw my hands up in the air and tried to act as cool as I can.
That was Pecorine last night after the game, after scoring that empty net goal in the Preds 5-2 win at Chicago. John Hines, his first win behind the Preds bench, and really Tuesday night's
count,
game.
Yeah, I don't count that as
he didn't
on
even
his
have
record.
A practice.
Yeah, I don't count that as being on his record.
Yeah.
So he's 1-0.
Practice before that game. So They came out strong last night. Three goals in the first period, held on to win 5-2 with a pair of empty net goals late in that game. Colin Blackwell, his first NHL goal as well last night. But coming up next, we shift back to the Titans and Ravens. Kadri Ishmael, former Ravens receiver, will join us here on the program. He's D-Mace. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.